the Calvary road where Jesus trod. I saw him hanging there, the Son of God. With tear-stained eyes I knelt and prayed, Father, heal my broken heart. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day just to know that the Savior is mine. I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurled. But I have taken the journey. Up Calvary's mountain, there my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day at Calvary, just to know that the Savior is mine. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day at Calvary, thrill of love divine, just to know that the Savior is mine. Unto Calvary, I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word. Each day just to know that the Savior is mine. Just to know that the Savior is mine.
Thank you, Mrs. Garner. Would you please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Let me say just two things. I need your help this morning. I need your help, first of all, ushers. When you are... if you're one of the ushers not receiving the offering and somebody comes in looking for a seat, it is your job to help them find a seat, not just watch them wander around. That's shameful. I was very disappointed this morning in that, and I want you to know that. Secondly, we have two pews in the back designated as handicapped pews. And it doesn't mean handicapped up here. If you're in a wheelchair or you're handicapped, those pews are for easy to get in and easy out of. And they're for senior saints that come in late and need to sit in the back. And let me encourage our people. the last row of pews. If you're a younger person, you need to move off of those and move up and leave those available for older folks that are coming in and handicapped people that are coming in and senior saints that are coming in. And I shouldn't have to say that, but we get so ingrained in us. And we forget the Christian life is not about us only. It's about others. And you know, we've got pews all over the place up here at front. And some of you really struggle to get the back pew because you don't much of what's happening. We need to leave them open for those that need to sit in the back. Some need to get up and go in and out because of health reasons. Others come in late and they shouldn't have to walk all the way to the front. And let me remind you that it's important that we do these things necessary to build a church and make people feel like they're wanted. They're wanted. And so please keep that in mind. Now, with that sweet word behind us, let's move on to Ephesians chapter 4. Would you stand, if you will, please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 17 and read the rest of this chapter. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," and I don't mean to add to the Word of God here, but seeking the back pew, and oh, no, the Bible doesn't say that. Verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." In those three words, lasciviousness, uncleanliness, and greediness, are encompassed every kind of immoral, ungodly act and debauchery and perversion that man can think of. "But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And I said to my Sunday school class this morning, I'll say again, our battles against sin and Satan are lost here before temptation ever comes. If we don't get our stinking thinking taken care of, if we don't start thinking godly and biblical, we don't start thinking as Christians in light of the Word of God, we're never going to be victorious in our walk down here. Because He said we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying and speaking every man truth, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now I want you to notice verse 32 for our message this morning. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then notice this statement, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to notice the statement, for Christ's sake. How much of what you do in your Christian life do you do for Christ's sake? How many choices do you make in your Christian life that can be linked to that statement, for Christ's sake? Well, I don't drink because my church is against it. That's a poor reason. For Christ's sake is the right reason. I don't smoke. I don't dope. Not because my church is against it, or mama's against it, or daddy's against it, but I'm a child of God and I don't do it for Christ's sake. I dress properly, morally, modestly, not because somebody's making me, but I'm a child of God, and I'm doing it for Christ's sake. I'm faithful to my Sunday school class and my church, not because I have to be, but because Jesus loved me and died for me, and I'm doing it for Christ's sake. I want to speak to you on that subject, for Christ's sake. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and use me as I preach, and may someone get the message and the meaning that life as a Christian is not about me and what I want, but it is for Christ's sake. Now, Lord God, save every unsaved person listening to my voice today. Bring conviction upon our hearts if we as children of God are not living as we ought to live. And may we find a place at an old-fashioned altar and do what we need to do to get right with God and start living a life for Christ's sake. For that man or woman visiting today and in need of a church home, or in need of getting saved, or in need of getting right with God, may You work in their heart today until they come and yield to Your will for Christ's sake. Now, Lord, be with our co-pastor today as he preaches there in New Mexico. Fill him and use him as only You can. Lord, there's Sunday school starting just about now, and we ask You, Lord God, to help him and bless him. And may You use him there today and bring him home safely. We give You thanks in advance for all You shall do here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The saint's greatest plea before God is for Christ's sake. It's not, Lord, I want to do this or I need to do this, but Lord, for Christ's sake. The lost sinner's only plea before God is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Christ's sake. There is no peace, there is no hope for the lost, hell-bound sinner until they behold the crucified Son of God dying for their sins. Then and only then can they cry to God, have mercy on me and save me for Christ's sake. We have no privilege with God except through the only begotten Son of God, and our privilege is on the merit for Christ's sake. We can never be looked upon as accepted or acceptable unto God except we stand in the redeeming blood of Christ. He accepts us for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. How many of y'all heard that? Noah's up there. That's one boy. James, you brought your friend last week and he got saved. You got him with you today. You need to be a right testimony for him. When I cry out to God in prayer, I need no other plea except for Christ's sake. Without the plea for Christ's sake, our prayers have no muscle, they have no power. All we are and all we shall ever be, if it is to last, must be built upon the foundation for Christ's sake, or it'll crumble into a pile of worthless rubble. Don't you forget that statement. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. That is our plea. That is our answer to prayer. That is our hope. I want you to consider the statement with me today as we look at just two thoughts for our message. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. First of all, for Christ's sake is the only motive for mercy for any of us. For Christ's sake. 1 John 2:12 says, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. It's not that you're so wonderful. It's not that you're so worthy. Our only motive for mercy. Ushers, would you take this young boy and help him? No. Ushers, quickly. This is ridiculous. That's, honey, it's not you. Yes, they do, honey. They do. I know. God bless you. Folks, we must not take for granted what we're trying to do here. Every one of us have got to be on our toes. Every one of us. We can't come casually. Good people, sweet people, need Jesus. And people bring people. And we need to be here to help them and love them. And we need to do it for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. We've got to get our minds just off of ourselves. And we've got to think about others. People who are hurting, people who are in need, people who need Jesus, people who need help in their home, in their marriage, in their family. And unless we come to the place as Christians, we're willing to come and leave our plans and our desires aside and do these things for Christ's sake. We're not going to accomplish the will of God. Are the purpose of God. For Christ's sake. He's the only motive for mercy. He forgives the sinner for Christ's sake. And He forgives the backslidden Christian for Christ's sake. The Bible says to children of God, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, John said in 1 John 2:12, our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And the only force by which God is moved to forgive a sinner is for Christ's sake. It's not our confession of sin. It's not our religion. It's not our prayer. It's not our mere belief in God. But when we come to Him on the merits of Jesus Christ and His redeeming love, then God is moved to forgive our sins for Christ's sake. God is moved to mercy in our behalf when we consider the person of Jesus Christ and His death for us on the cross. He is God incarnate in human flesh. He's not just another man. He's not even a good man only. He is God incarnate in human flesh. He left the high and holy estate in glory to become flesh and dwell among us. And as the last Adam, he was tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet without sin. And in his person, he is sinless, holy, pure, and obedient to God all the way to the cross. And it's on the merit of Jesus Christ and him alone that we have access to God, that we have forgiveness of God, that any of us have standing before Almighty God. God is moved to mercy in our behalf when he considers not only the person of Christ, but the relationship of God the Father and the Son. I want you to know there was no disobedience in Christ's life. There was never a wrong thought or a wrong action or a wrong deed in reference to the Son and the Heavenly Father. There was obedience and love, perfect love, perfect obedience, perfect submission, even to the cross where he became sin for us. The Bible says of Jesus who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of God. God is moved to mercy in our behalf when we come to him in the name and the person of Jesus Christ. God is moved to mercy in our behalf, in behalf of the sinner, when he considers the life and the death of his Son Jesus. Jesus lived a sinless life, though he was tempted in all points as we are tempted. Jesus died an undeserved death. And he said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He was a lamb led to the slaughter, willingly dying for you and for me. There on the cross of Calvary, God put all of the sin of the world upon his Son. My sin and your sin. Don't just talk about the sin of the world. Bring it down personal. Make it personal. He put my sin on him and your sin, and God judged him for Bob Smith and for you. So that we as hell-deserving sinners can cry out for mercy for Christ's sake and have it. He became our willing substitute. God poured out the wrath deserved for my sin and yours upon Jesus. And he died for us so we could have life everlasting. Let me tell you, if you die and go to hell, you're going to have to crawl over the roadblock of Calvary. And I thank God for some people to die and go to hell. They're going to have to crawl over the roadblock of a godly mama and a godly daddy. They're going to have to crawl over the roadblock of someone who lives and loves them and invites them to church and tries to get them saved. I don't want to be a hindrance to people getting saved. We've got to come to that place in our life where we live in such a way that our life honors him. We need to do it for Christ's sake. Heart was broken a moment ago at the plea of this dear lady for a soul, for a little family. And I wonder, does it bother you that people are dying and going to hell and need Jesus and we do nothing? We do nothing. Oh, may God burn in our heart the spirit and the attitude for Christ's sake. Man, it's all about me. It's all about what I want and what I'm going to do and what I think. Nobody else. But God saved us for Christ's sake, and he left us here as his children for Christ's sake, because there's people who need Jesus. We ought to be living our life and giving our witness to others for Christ's sake. God, this is God's only motive for mercy. Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. His death is the only acceptable sacrifice unto God. when God saw the travail of His Son, He said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And when the most vile sinner cries out to God for forgiveness in belief and faith and dependence upon Jesus Christ, then God saves that sinner and forgives his sin for Christ's sake. Oh yes, we're the benefit. We're the beneficial ones. We get the benefits. We're the benefactor, the ones that's blessed by it. I'll get it right in a minute. Man, I had my mouth worked on and now it won't work to talk. My mind's not working. The only acceptable sacrifice in the sight of God is the death of Jesus Christ. And when a sinner gets saved, the only motive for mercy in God's sight is when we cry out to Him for Christ's sake. Jesus had not only a perfect life, He was a perfect substitute. And in His death, He paid our sin debt and signed it by His resurrection from the dead. A perfect salvation. And we can cry out to God for mercy on the merits of Jesus Christ and Him alone. The lost sinner finds no greater strength in all the world for his appeal unto God than for Christ's sake. We can't say, God, I've done this and I've done that. Well, we're sinners and everything we touch in our sinful condition is polluted by our sin. And in order for us to be forgiven, we've got to have a perfect sacrifice. Someone who perfectly, completely paid our sin debt. And that finds its answer in one person, Jesus Christ, and we must cry out to God for forgiveness for Christ's sake. If God did not save the repenting sinner for Christ's sake, then Christ's suffering and death on the cross would be in vain. If God did not serve or save the repenting sinner for Christ's sake, the Old Testament types would all have been a lie. If God did not save the believing sinner for Christ's sake, then God Himself would be untruthful and no better than the lying devil. But oh, when the most vile sinner, or the weakest sinner, or the poorest sinner, cries out in the name of Jesus for mercy, and in the name of Jesus asks God to save him, then God is moved to mercy for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. When the repenting sinner acknowledges that his sin, that he is a sinner and cries for salvation and forgiveness for Christ's sake, all heaven takes notice. God is moved to action for Christ's sake. When that sinner cries out to God in the name of Jesus for forgiveness, God blots all of the sinner's sin from the book. The repenting sinner's name is written in the book of life. He's born again into the family of God. Heaven becomes his home. And all heaven rejoices for Christ's sake. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Redemption in Christ Jesus for Christ's sake. Let me say in the second place, for Christ's sake, is the believer's great motive for service. For Christ's sake is the believer's great motive for service. May I begin this thought by saying that God expects us to serve Him after we're saved for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. It's not so my name can be famous. It's not so that you can be looked upon and thought talented or gifted or a special person. Our service, whether it be in the pulpit or on a mission field or in the choir or in a Sunday school class or on a bus route, our motive for service is for the sake of the one who died to save me and lift me from that horrible pit. For Christ's sake, serving Him for Christ's sake is to avenge his death. You say, what are you talking about? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yes, it is. But we're to avenge Christ's death. We're to make it count. Look what Satan and sin did. Look what Satan robbed from God. Look at the suffering of Jesus Christ for us. When I accept Christ as my Savior and I live for Him, I serve Him, it gives credence and testimony and honor and glory to the death of Jesus Christ for me. By the way, when you as a Christian don't live for God, you're exalting the devil's name over Jesus' name. You're exalting the devil's program over Christ's program. How dare we say that we're children of God and we're glorifying the devil with our life because we want to feel good about what we're doing. We like it. The flesh likes it. But it goes against everything God stands for and everything Satan stands for. When I serve God for Christ's sake and I do right for Christ's sake and I live godly for Christ's sake and I say no to the devil for Christ's sake, I'm avenging the death of Jesus who loved me and died on that old rugged cross for me. We should exalt Christ's name and honor His memory for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody could ever do for me what God did for me in Jesus Christ on that cross. Yes, I had a brother that died for our nation in Second World War, and I love him and I honor him for that. But his death on the battlefield in the Second World War couldn't save me or you from our sin. It couldn't give our family purpose and direction and hope. It was what Jesus did for us. And we're to live for Him and honor Him and exalt Him and His memory for Christ's sake. We ought to live to honor Him and serve Him to show our love and gratitude for Christ's sake. I'm so sick of this crowd today that's going around saying if you've got any kind of a standard or you're separated from the world in any way that you're a legalist. You know, they're not of God. God says, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? God forbid. You know, I don't live the way I live and live by the standards I live and separate myself from the world because I have to go to heaven. That was taken care of in Jesus Christ. I do it because I love Him and because I want to honor Him and exalt Him. I do it for Christ's name's sake. For Christ's sake. He is our motive for service. We ought to do it to show our love and gratitude for Him. It's not because I have to. I don't drink liquor. I do it because of what He's done for me. And it's a way I can honor Him and show my love for Him. I do it for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. I don't have to talk without vulgarities in order to get to heaven. Jesus saved me. He paid that sin debt. He saved me and gave me life everlasting. I do it because I ought not do it as a Christian. And I do it for His name's sake. For His name's sake. Let me tell you, when you, as a Christian, choose not to serve God, you're doing it against His name. When you choose to live only for yourself, you're doing it against His name. When you choose to live in willful sin, you're doing it against His name. And as a Christian, you're mocking His name and belittling His name and exalting the name of the devil that wants to do nothing but wreck and ruin and destroy your life. We ought to show our love and gratitude for Christ for His name's sake. Think of the sacrifice and service man has rendered for their country's sake. Half a million people, Americans, died in the Civil War. Half a million. More died in the Civil War than in the First World War and the Second World War combined. But thousands laid down their life in First World War, Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, Panama, and on and on and on, for their country's sake. Then we have representatives and presidents that don't care any more about us or this country than to move their legislation, legislators to make decisions that are going to bankrupt our country and hurt our country. Look at what people have done for history's sake. I was born a Texan, raised in Texas. Only times I've ever lived out of Texas is when I was pastor in Louisiana and I was in the Navy in Florida. And as a Texan, one of my favorite stories is the story of the Alamo. When men knew they were about to die, and they knew that if they would defend the Alamo at the cost of their death and delay the advance of Santa Anna's army for just a little while, it'd give them opportunity to regroup and to have a fortified front at the next battle place. And these men willingly crossed the line and died for the sake of Texas. What men have done for their country's sake, for history's sake, for business sake. People work 70 and 80 and 100 hours a week for a business that 50 years from now is probably not even going to exist. It's not going to matter one hill of beans in light of eternity. Others give their life for fame's sake. And still others die for false religion's sake. And then still others sell themselves to sin and Satan for pleasure's sake. What greater motive is there for us to live for God than to live for the one who became sin for us and died that we might have life everlasting? How dare we call ourselves Christians and mock His name? How dare we call ourselves Christians and not care about what honors Him and glorifies Him? He is our motive for service. How much more should we live and we serve? We sacrifice than for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Where are you in relationship to God in Christian service for Christ's sake? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you called upon God in His name for forgiveness of sin? If you have, are you living for His sake? Are you serving for His sake? Is He the desire of your heart? Is He the love of your life? Is He the reason for your service? Is He the reason for a surrendered life? For Christ's sake? For Christ's sake? I call on you today, if you're here without Christ as your Savior, the only thing that will move God to forgiveness of sin for you and salvation for you is for you to come to God in the sacrificial love and death of Jesus Christ. And when you ask Him, He'll save your soul and forgive your sin for Christ's sake. And Christian, every motive for our service ought to be built around for His sake. For His sake. For His sake. Let us give ourselves to Him if we're saved for His sake. Let us come to worship Him for His sake. Let us come to church with an idea that it's not just about me. It's about Him and what He can do in lives, including my own, if I'll approach Him, not just about me, but for Christ's sake. Let us come and get in the choir and sing and lift up His name for Christ's sake. Let us go into our Sunday school classes and teach for His sake. Let us run our buses and pick up little boys and girls and bring them to the house of God for His sake. Let us go out and witness and tell people about Jesus and bring them to church for His sake. For His sake. There's no motive, there's nothing that will move God to forgiveness of sin other than for Christ's sake. And there's no greater motive for our service and our living right and doing right than for Christ's sake. Where is your life in reference to His namesake? For Christ's sake. I say to you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has provided a Savior so complete that He can forgive every sin and wash them away and blot them out of heaven's book and bring you into the family of God as one of His children, saved, redeemed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And it's all for His sake. And if you're saved today, may we dedicate our life to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. May we live for Him and honor Him and glorify Him so that all we do is for His sake. His sake. Heavenly Father, that's our message. Old